Lord, thank you for your love towards us. Thank you that you would send Christ into the world to make a way for us to be loved and known by you afresh. So Lord, help us walk every day in the freedom of your grace and the light of that life. And we declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on to our fourth message in this series about fruitfulness, the five practices of fruitfulness, not only in our own lives, but in the life of the church. Look at these values that we want to kind of live as the people of God. And today we're on to our fourth one, expressed beautifully by the painting at the front of the cacti. And it's risk-taking mission and service. Risk-taking mission and service. So, a while ago, there was a man named Ernest Shackleton, and he wanted to take a trip. He was really interested in travel to the North Pole and the South Pole, and he wrote this advert. It's quite famous. He said, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honour and recognition in the event of success." And he had so many replies to this advert. Even though it says, bitter cold, chance of survival doubtful, he had so many responses. Why do I think that is? Because that last line, honour and recognition in the event of success. Why? Because we're all looking for purpose. We're all looking for a meaning to our lives. We're all looking for something to live for. We're all looking for a cause to give our lives to. We're all looking for something of meaning in our lives. And we find it in different places, but we're all looking for that sense of purpose. And we've been talking about in this kind of, not only in this series, but also the series before this, looking at kind of the vision of Acts 1, 7 and 8. Of this story where, just before Jesus goes back into heaven, the disciples say to him, "So Jesus, now that you've resurrected, now are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus turns around and goes, What do you mean? You've missed the big picture. This isn't about restoring Israel. This is about restoring the entirety of creation. He says, there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger mission here that you've been missing. There's a bigger purpose in all of this. And in theological circles, what we call it is, we call it the Missio Dei. It's Latin for the mission of God. But quite simply, what we're living for is the mission of God that gives its, which kind of takes its shape in the person of Christ, that God has come into the world to transform and save it. That God wants to find and seek out what is dead and bring it to life. There's a bigger story, a bigger picture going on. And in that Acts 1, 5-8, I looked at how Jesus says, if you're going to follow this mission, which is far bigger than you can possibly imagine, you're going to have to do three things. You have to trust the Father, you have to receive the Spirit, and you tell the story of the Son. Those three key things. This is the mission of God. That you need to learn how to trust, be in relationship with your Heavenly Father. Receive the power that God wants to give you, and you need to go and share it with the world. Tell the story of Jesus wherever you go. And what Jesus calls this in the end of Matthew's Gospel is the Great Commission. And whenever you read the word commission, I always read it this way. It's the co-mission. It's the mission of God that we do with him. It's not something that we go off and do, and God goes, that's nice. God wants to do it with us. You see, Jesus, whenever he's doing his ministry, he says, I only do what I see the Father in heaven doing. It's in partnership that the mission of God, the Missio Dei, this mission of God, each of us are invited into finding our purpose and our meaning in the purposes and plans of God. And God doesn't say, go off and do it now. He says, I'm with you in this. This is the whole receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put my presence in you. I'm going to give it to you so that we can go and do this together. It's the co-mission. And what Jesus then says is, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Until I'm with you, don't go and do mission. Don't go and change the world until I am with you. And so the book of Acts after this starts with the disciples sitting in a room for 40 days just waiting. Waiting and praying. Waiting and praying. And if you're a bit of an activist type person, The idea of sitting waiting for 40 days in a room praying and not going and changing the world will seem awful. Why wouldn't you just get on and do it? But what God says is, wait till I am with you. It's the co-mission. It's not your mission, it's my mission. And so we do it together. The co-mission. As the Acts starts with the disciples encountering the Holy Spirit. And what encountering the Holy Spirit leads to is a conviction. And out of conviction leads to compulsion. See, what happens is, when you experience the presence and power of God, you start seeing the big picture of God's story. You start understanding that there's a kingdom of heaven that God wants to make real here on earth. It's the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's kind of like the great mandate of Christ, really. That's what you see in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus says, what's his whole life about? He says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news, to release the captives, to set people free. You see, when you experience an encounter with God, your vision increases about what God wants. And that can be through a moment where you just experience the power and presence of God. That could be when you're reading the Word of God and you're going, wow, I need to go and do this. I need to, this something in this is speaking to me. But you see, mission always comes out of a place of experiencing the heart of God. And when you experience the heart of God and you see that bigger picture, you feel a conviction that the world needs to be transformed and changed. And then that leads you to a compulsion to go and do. You see, in the book of Acts, it wasn't they sat in prayer for 40 days and they went, we should probably go out now. They were compelled by the Holy Spirit to go and preach boldly on the streets, to go and proclaim the good news. They were prepared to be whipped and beaten and all sorts of things because they're going, we feel compelled to do this. And Jesus, in the story of the Gospels, he goes and gets baptized at the beginning of the Gospels, and it says that he then goes out into the desert. But actually, in Mark's Gospel, it says he was compelled to go. And in the Greek, it's ekbalo, which means to literally be thrown. It's like he experiences the presence of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit. It says, the Spirit of the Lord descends like a dove upon him. And he hears the voice of the Father saying, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. He gets a picture of the bigger vision of what God's all about. And then literally the Spirit of God almost throws him into the desert. He's compelled to go. And often why we're not more convicted about the need for mission and to go and do more things is because we're not experiencing that bigger vision of God in our own lives. We've settled for what we've experienced so far. But that's where the disciples spend time in prayer. And when God turns up, they go, now we must go. Now we must go and do this. And throughout the book of Acts, you see people having big prayer meetings before they go and do anything at all. That prayer is the engine, the power source that shapes mission. And so mission and service come out of an encounter with a vision of the kingdom of heaven come on earth. And when you capture that vision, what happens is it becomes, you realize it will require sacrifice on your part. It will require something of you because suddenly you're living for God's vision and not your own vision. Not what you want, but what he wants. And that's what the great prayer of Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And what happens next? He gets crucified. That when you say God's will, not my will, there is sacrifice that takes place. And this is then often why we don't want to do mission, because it requires something of you and it requires something of me. It requires something of our time, our energy, our money. It takes something of us. But if we're going to say God's will be done, not my will be done, it's in that place of sacrifice that we truly see something beautiful take place. Mission always requires sacrifice. And again, the book of Acts, it begins with Jesus, you can go into all the world. I bet the disciples had no idea the sacrifice and the cost it was going to take. But whenever they faced trials and tribulations, they just kept going. We're doing it for a bigger vision. We've got a bigger purpose, a bigger cause that we're living for. So it requires sacrifice. And this is why mission needs to be risk-taking. Not just saying Christians should be people who do mission and service, but actually it needs to be risk-taking. Why? Because it stops it being about us, placing things in the realm of, and it places things in the realm of trusting the Father, and takes away the power from our excuses. That when you take a risk in mission, when you go, this feels beyond me, but I feel God's heart is for this to happen, so I'm going to go and do it, even though it feels outside my comfort zone, even though it feels beyond what I can do, you're stepping into the realms of risk or into the realms of trust or faith that we've been talking about. And what you're saying is, I can't do this, but I know God can, and therefore we're doing it together. I have to rely on God to do it with me, not me doing it on my own. Because one of the reasons we don't do mission more is we make excuses as to why we can't serve or why we can't go on mission. And whenever you read the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament, you see person after person after person going, well, I can't do that for you, God, because I've got this. Or I can't do this, God, because I've done that. Or I couldn't possibly do that, God, because I don't know enough yet. And it's excuse after excuse after excuse. And God goes, just go and trust. Just go and trust. That's the Christian life. The life of faith is go and trust. And it completely undermines all of our excuses. Because our excuse of going, I haven't got enough time, I can't do this, I can't do this, or I'm not able to do that. God just says, but who are you trusting? Are you trusting to what you need or to what I can give you? And so mission is always together with us and God. And as soon as mission becomes about us and not God, it's not mission anymore, it's just us doing nice things for nice people to get a nice result. So we go, we should do this as a church. Why? Because I just think we should. That's not the right thing to be doing. It might be a nice thing. It might be a good thing. But if it's not in commission with God, if it's not us and God together saying, this is what God's saying for us to do, we're on shaky ground where we're relying on what we can do, not on what God can do through us. And often when it's something that we choose to do rather than God choosing to do, we know it's us because it doesn't take any risk on our part. It doesn't require any trust on our part. It's within the realms of what we, our skills, our abilities can do on our own. And so risk-taking mission, in order for us to be fruitful and to be growing, it has to be a place of trust. And we talked last week about the six things that shape and grow our faith. And one of them is serving. Personal ministry. When we serve each other and when we go on mission and we do mission in the world, we grow our faith because we're saying, God, I have to rely on you now because if it's not you, I can't do this. I told you before, when I was 18, I was planning to take a gap year shadowing the minister at Pershore Baptist Church. And then he announced just before I was about to start in September that he was leaving. And I said, well, I've said to the church, I'll give them the year shadowing the minister for a year. The minister's gone, well, I'll just work for the church for a year. I ended up at 18 being the only member of staff in a church. Talk about the deep end. I couldn't do that on my own, but with God, amazing things happened. I could at that point gone, no, the minister's gone, I'm just going to walk away now. That doesn't feel very comfortable. But it's going, risk-taking mission is when you go, oh, the water's a bit deep here, isn't it? A bit out of my depth here right now. And God goes, great, because now I can show you what I can do. And I guarantee if you talk to people in this room, there are people who have stepped out in faith and started a ministry or done something in ministry, and there's been those times when actually it's going, oh, God, if you don't turn up right now, the most powerful things have happened. And at times when it's all us, it probably falls flat on its face. I've probably said before, I'm sure other people have said it before as well, but it's like from the front of church here. Whenever I think I've preached a blinder, no one says a thing after church. Whenever I think I've done the worst preach I've ever done in my life, people go, wow, that was really powerful. That was such a really interesting point. I'm going, I was bored. How did you get that from that? And it's that beautiful reminder when that happens of going, oh, yeah. It's the commission of God. It's me and God together. When it's just me, it will never have the power if it's all God. We live in that place of fully relying on God. I used to have a wristband which had frog on it. And it stood for the acronym of fully rely on God. That is the Christian life. And mission and service comes out of that place of fully relying on God. Saying, actually, it's not what I can do, it's what God can do through me. All I've got to do is position myself in a place where God can use me. Which is why it starts with the encounter. So when you encounter the presence of God and go, wow, this is God's vision, this is what God can do, you can then feel compelled to go, God, I'll join in with that vision, with what you want. And we know always it's what God's after, not what we're after. Fully rely on God. And where this starts is in serving in the life of the church. The church is the place where we are called first and foremost in the community of the saints, the people who are saved by grace. This is the place where we first start our serving life. It says in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's saying, it starts in the life of the church. The church is a great place where we learn how to love, we learn how to serve, we learn how to give, we learn how to be. Because ultimately the church is a gym, it's the learning environment for the real rest of our lives. So what we do in church is the training ground for the rest of our lives. Because the mission field, the mission of God, is our whole life into the place that God's called us to be, whether that be our workplace, our community, whatever we're doing. So the church is a training ground. So often in the life of the church, God will call you to do something, to serve in a way, you think, oh, I don't want to do that. And God says, well, is it what you want or is it what I want? Oh God, I couldn't do that because X, Y, and Z. Well, who's doing it with you? And so risk-taking starts in the safety of the gym. The safety of the church environment. Where we can have a go and make mistakes and it's okay. We can take a risk. I often hear people say, I can't serve in climbers. Why? I want to be in the message. I want to be in church. Well, fortunately, we record them every single week. Is it what you want or is it what God wants? And there's a whole load of ministries in the life of the church where actually it's saying, could you serve? Could you help? Or are you just thinking, someone else will do that? I don't want to have that responsibility. I don't want to have that on my plate. Is it what you want or is it what God wants? Because actually it's a place of taking risks in the life of the church that will give you the steps to being able to take bigger risks in the mission of life. Jesus says, if you're faithful in the small things, I'll give you much to be faithful over. If you can do it in the small place, if you can do it in the gym, you can do it in the real world. Bring it to the Bible, it's always good. So I'll tell you a story about Abraham and his father. So Terah, who is Abraham's dad in the Bible, there's a little verse where it says, Terah took his son Abram, who becomes Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Cana. But when he came to Haran, he settled there. You see, Abraham is the person that God calls to go and live in the promised land of Cana. But actually, it was his dad who was called to go to Cana first. But what happened was, en route, he stopped at a place which is about halfway from where they were to where Cana is, and he stops at a place called Haran. And as he got there, he went, oh, it's quite nice here, we'll just stay here. His vision was to go to Cana, but he stopped where he was because he got comfortable. He didn't want to go any further because, actually, this fits me now. This is all right. This is what kind of works. And it's so easy for us to start out on our Christian journey and we take some steps of faith, we go in to take some risks, and actually we then kind of just settle. And when we settle, it gets boring. And we think that church is a bit boring, serving is a bit boring, not really growing. And often we're not growing, so we're not taking any risks of faith. And it's our faith that needs to grow in order to say that we trust God more. Terah, he settles at Haran. He gets so far and goes, this is enough, I'll settle here. When we look at Abraham in Genesis 11, where it talks about him, it says, now by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive it as his inheritance, obeyed and went, though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. When called to go, he obeyed. He went. He didn't settle, he went. And he lives this nomadic lifestyle in this land of Canaan, which will be the promised land. He goes and inherits the promise that God's giving to him. The mission that God gives him, he goes and does. And that word about obedience, you see, trust in action is obedience. When we trust God and we put that trust into action, we're living in obedience. Trust in action is obedience. If we're not putting our trust into action, it's not obedience, it's just wishful thinking. Trust in action is obedience. And that word obedience, the only other place in the New Testament where that word obedience is used is in Acts 12:13, where it talks about Rhoda opening the door to Peter. It's the word to respond to a summons, respond to a call. It means to open a door. When we are obedient to God, doors start opening. Doors open for us. New possibilities become a reality. That our trust in action is obedience, and our obedience opens doors. But also, in the life of each of us, risk is relative. For you, the big risk might be going on a mission trip abroad. For you, it might just be actually going, I'll volunteer for the welcome team. That's a bit scary, but I'll do it. For you, the risk might be serving in climbers. It might be dusting off your musical instrument and saying, I'll join the worship team. It might be saying, I'll help do coffee. It might be saying, I'm going to go and volunteer at BCM. I'm going to find other things to go and volunteer with in the community. Risk is relative to who you are. It can be a small step or a big step, but for each of us, it will be different because of who we are and where we're at on our journey. So risk-taking is relative. For you, it could just be taking that step to serve in one place in church life. For someone else, the same step might be for them to go and talk to BMS World Mission about where they can go and serve as a missionary abroad. This morning, what's the next risk-taking mission that you're going to seek to do? What's the next thing you could do to serve or to do mission? What could you do? What risks could you take? What could be your next step of trusting the Father in what we do? Risk-taking mission and service is obediently offering ourselves in purposeful service to God's commission. And that will require sacrificial, it'll be sacrificial, it takes trust, and it takes reliance on the Holy Spirit. And that's when you know if you're taking a risk. Because it will take sacrifice, it will take trust in God, and it will take reliance on the Holy Spirit. As soon as we're not reliant on those things, it's probably just us. We're doing it in our own strength. But this is the co-mission. We do it with God. So we are called to be a people who are fruitful in our journey of discipleship, by taking risks in our mission. Recognizing that when we say, like in Acts 1, God, now is it time for you to do what I want? And God goes, no, you've missed the point. It's the story of the whole world. It's the Missio Dei. It is the mission of God. It's to go, oh, then let me trust you more. Let me receive more of your Holy Spirit as I go and tell the story of your Son wherever I go. We need to be a church. We need to be people who take risks, who step into that place, that realm of faith and trust. What will be your next step of trust? What will be your next risk that you'll take to grow your faith? Where could you serve? What could you offer? What could you sacrifice? Where could actually would push you in your faith to rely more on God for that ministry to take place or that ministry to happen? Let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you for your call of mission And we thank you that in Christ we see what that looks like, the fact that mission is sacrificial. For Jesus, it was the cross. Help each of us take the next step of faith that we can take. Help us take the next risk in our mission and our service of following you in our journey of life together. Let's find purpose in encountering you and being convicted and being compelled to go and serve the world because we've captured something of your heart. Let's do that, trusting the Father, receiving the Spirit as it tells the story of the Son in all that we do. Amen.